shall we pray. Great Jehovah, we're glad to be in your presence this morning, especially glad for our own sakes that we have a truly revealed word which you yourself brought, vindicated, proved it be true according to your own word, which we know endures forever. And we can rely upon it because we know that you stand behind your word to back it up, to bring it to pass, which no other one could ever do. There, all the worlds together could never do it, but you've done it, Lord, in the very simplicity in this hour that we have received, and we're grateful for it. Now we pray you'll continue to teach us by your word, to give us a real in-depth revelation, a real understanding, where we know that faith goes beyond faith, goes beyond hope, goes right to the place of love. You yourself present in the form of the Holy Spirit, and giving us an absolute knowledge which has been proven by so-called science, and yet people one day will have to eat their own words, but they do not even acknowledge the truth of your word once having had it proved to them, even by the test tube, which we know, Lord, your word does not go through test tube, but if necessary, the test tube would even prove it, because we know all must glorify your name, their every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's being done now, yet we see so many people going back on that confession. Help us, Lord, to be true to you. We do not ask to be true to you as you are true to us, but we just ask you, Lord, to help us to be true to you in the measure we ought to be true, first of all, believing that word sincerely, absolutely receiving every single word without disputation, confrontation, or any changing whatever, just taking it as it is, and then, Lord, coming into the place where that word takes over our lives, and also that life, as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. Help us, Lord, to have the life and the walk, and we give you glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, back on page 27, where we were leaving ourselves sort of open for quite some time, there is a sentence or part of a sentence in paragraph 92. That's from the script from which I'm reading. And Brother Branham says back there, now tonight in the days when we got this great discrepancy, Jesus Christ promised in Luke that in the days before the coming of the Lord, it would be like in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man would reveal himself like the Son of Man revealed himself to Abraham down there, Elohim. So Brother Branham is talking about the end time great discrepancy, which is the Omega of the original Alpha, which started in the our New Testament history back in the book of Acts chapter 20, and then also was greatly manifested in the Corinthian church, which had originally started under Peter, and then Paul came on the scene and started a new bride church in the midst of a discrepancy. And, of course, the discrepancy was exactly as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, though I will have to be very honest with you, that neither Peter nor Apollos nor any of the others actually wanted anybody to follow them as though they were leaders, bringing unto themselves disciples, which they would impregnate with their own message and bind them to themselves and actually lead them away. Now, that certainly wasn't either Peter's way of doing things, and it wasn't Apollos. And certainly Paul did not want anybody to follow him just as a matter of prejudice or a matter of comparison. So we see it start there. And it wasn't meant to be, as far as those people were concerned. But you'll notice that Peter never actually got with Paul until they had a showdown, a face-to-face. And that's where Paul had to call Peter's bluff, that he was doing something that he himself did not require the Gentiles to do. And formerly he was with the Gentiles doing the very things that the Old Testament does not require the Gentiles to do. And then under pressure, he began giving in to those that were putting pressure upon him until he came to the place where they wanted Timothy even to be circumcised, wherein Paul gave, thus saith the Lord, those that are circumcised, Christ avails them nothing. So here was Peter unwittingly actually working against the very word of Almighty God, which he was commissioned to uphold, and given by the grace of God the ability to open the doors of the church to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. So you can see how the seed of discrepancy actually came in. It wasn't intentional. Nobody intended anything. But what the failure was to recognize that Paul was vindicated above everybody else to take the word of God to the Gentiles. And you see the same thing in the big fight today over the healing ministry. Brother Branham no more invented a healing ministry or championed a healing ministry or brought about a healing ministry or in any way revived the healing ministry on his own. There was always healing ministries in Pentecost from 1906 on and even before then. And as I was talking to John Amoritas this morning, and I've talked to you many times, if you want, I can produce the chapter out of a book written by a minister who knew Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon very well, and he was the pastor of the Grace Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And in there he tells how when Spurgeon visited the insane institutions and simply began to pray, an awesome hush fell upon the people, and they could not be obstreperous and screaming and doing what they were doing. And many were brought to their right minds and walked out of there. And 20 years after Spurgeon died, the people were still testifying to the great healing miracles of that ministry. And here's what the key to that man's ministry was as he prayed for the sick. It is my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to him. And that man had an earth-shaking ministry in healing. So Brother Branham coming on the scene was not a person, a new Butinsky, taking over from the Pentecostals. They failed to understand vindication 100%. Now, if that's 2,000 years from the time when even Peter never recognized the vindication, and Apollos, though they might have to a degree and no doubt did to agree, and the people themselves had to be called by Paul unspiritual, which meant carnal, which means they weren't full of the Holy Ghost, or simply little babies, which perhaps could have had the Holy Spirit baptism, and then just froze there, didn't want to go on, he should have been recognized exactly for what he was according to vindication. But no dice. Well, now, if that was back there 2,000 years ago, what's it going to be when the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it to William Branham? Zilch. Literally zilch. And if you expect more, hey, you're not with it. You haven't learned your lesson. You don't understand Alpha. You don't understand Omega. You don't understand twins. You don't understand presence. You don't understand vindication. You just don't understand. You're ignorant. And Paul said, he that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Now there's hope for the autistic, but there's no hope for the wantonly, spiritually ignorant or dumb. You know that God condemns the dumb dogs that can't bark? And he condemns the man who's in battle, whose sword does not draw blood? And he condemns the person that bypasses his word to pray? Well, I minister his prayer. What about the word? Oh, well, my name is to pray. Well, you'll pray and you'll get results, and your soul will be dead. And you'll come to God, and God will say, I never knew you. Well, Lord, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Look, you loved me back there, and look what you did me back there. Oh, yes, he said, I did. You didn't read the scripture. You thought you could twist my arm, so I let you twist my arm. I gave you what your soul desired, which wasn't the word, just miracles and all these other things and goodies. Now I'm denying you. Depart from me, I never knew you. So that's what you're looking at here in this seed of discrepancy. You're looking at the actual omega situation of the hour. Now, in the very beginning of this message, starting with the portion of Scripture Brother Branham used in Matthew 13, relative to the wheat and the tares, we found Brother Branham stressing emphatically the unassailable truth that God has his children and Satan has his children. And those children were all manifested according to original seed. And actually manifest whether they are of God or whether they are of the devil. So, all right, we go back, flip our pages back here, and we read on page 7, starting at 32. That's the beginning of this message, pretty well. Now, we find when God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden, we find out that it brought forth an Abel. Now, you notice what God did to sow his seed. He had a human body there, two human bodies, and he used them. Now, we got one bunch of people that are people. Now, if God used human bodies, what will Satan use? He will use human bodies. Now, God had the complete rights on the human bodies that he placed there. But as Brother Branham said, he placed them under a moral obligation and a choice, which way they will go. And we saw what Eve did and how that Adam followed. See? Now, Adam's like the good shepherd following that little sheep that was taken astray, caught in the jaws of the devil. And immediately, of course, he made sure that she was his wife and brought forth his son. That's a bad situation, you can see. All right, in the Garden of Eden, it tells you right there, we find out that it brought forth an Abel. Now, that is a true child of God by way of the flesh, because Adam and Eve were really tripartite in this sense. Number one, she was in Adam. He called their name Adam. We find one person right there. And in him is the life which will bring forth male and females. That life can do it. But it can't do it unless God does something about it. So he creates spirits, male spirit and a female spirit. Then he makes a body, and he separates the body, and he gives Adam the male appurtenances and Eve the female appurtenances. Now you've got it where God can bring forth children. That's what you're looking at. Now, in the very beginning, that's the way it was. So, if there's a seed sown afterward in that field, which is God's field, and Paul calls it, we are God's husbandry, our bodies are God's fields. When it comes to the church, it becomes edifice. But don't let your thinking mess you up. I'm giving you straight, solid scripture. Based right on here, on thus saith the Lord, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God who cannot make a mistake. The first man that says, Brother Branham made a mistake, that man will be anathema, cursed before God. Because you're accusing God of making a mistake. Oh, just a minute now. God can't control a man. Shut your mouth. God can control you. And when you die, you'll be controlled. And you'll go where God wants you to go, and you'll pay for what you did. Then you tell me God can't control. Bunch of stinking hypocrites in the world. They talk about God being sovereign. Same bunch talk about God dying. If God died and I was a devil, you think I wouldn't take over? Well, the thing is, the devil couldn't take over because everything is maintained by God. And if there was God died, the whole universe would dissolve. I got to get back on my subject. I could talk for hours on that one alone. All right, he says here, when God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden. So that was the sowing of God. Remember, God was the first man, Jesus the second, Adam the third. Huh? Oh, they don't like that, do they? Nah. Jesus only can't stand that. None of them can stand it. Oh, now Lee Bale is talking Lee Bale. Show him the quote. Well, still Lee Bale is not Brother Branham. Now there's two of them when the son came forth. The third one wasn't there yet. The third one came. Well, that's Lee Bale. And I'm quoting Brother Branham. They say they quote the prophet. Know what he said? Something's wrong somewhere. Ain't my screwed up head. I can tell you right now. I can get the quote. I read it to you time after time. Strange, isn't it? God sowed his seed. How did he do it? I just told you. Let's go again. Let us make man in our image. So after the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Then he breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and Adam became a living soul. So what happened when God breathed the breath of life in him? It was his own spirit, Brother Branham said, and that was his soul. And from that time on, the breath of lives was in there, the Holy Spirit producing children, God producing children through human instrumentality. And that's where the soul come from. He said, you, the soul, where is your father?
Oh, Horace, I got a new soul from God. Well, here's the Bible. I'd like you to find it for me. And then when you do, give me some vindication, because any bird can pick up the Bible and say, this is this and this is this. Dave Pollard went to visit a guy in hospital. I won't mention the guy's name. I don't know him anyway. Dave began talking, and the guy came against Brother Branham. He said, then you don't believe, you're supposed to believe something about Brother Branham. He said, then you don't believe Brother Branham was drawn 14 and 12. He said, no. Well, who was it? Well, he said, I can do it. He said, when are you going to do it? Did you realize what I'm telling you? How abject, abysmally abject can the darkened soul be? They just are like the prostitute that rakes in the money for her services. Like eating a piece of bread, wiping your mouth. Blaspheming means nothing to people. Of course, if you're real sweet, you can get away with it. If you polish your words. I left my polished words 40 years ago. You should have heard me as a kid preacher at 22. I could bamboozle you up one side and down the other. My fluency, my English was always flawless. My eloquence was beautiful. I should have had tapes of it. Forget it. No man got off this ground with God by eloquency and beautiful words, lovely thoughts. Strangest thing in the world, David is still the prophet king type. And he knew he shouldn't lust after his neighbor's wife. He knew he shouldn't commit adultery. He knew he shouldn't kill him. He did it all. So God said, David, I'm through with you. No more Psalms, no more nothing. You've had it. Find it in the Bible. Find it for me. Then Jesus is without a type. There's no type, then there's no anti-type. Huh? So we don't have a king sitting on David's throne, because David blew it. I'm glad you're not screaming amen, because this is the time we don't scream amen. We examine our souls to find out just how much we do stand with this word. It's 100% apart from us, because we didn't produce it. We didn't even have enough on the ball to believe it. If we were seed, it means something. If we're not, it means nothing. Except hypocrisy. We find that it brought forth an Abel. It didn't bring forth a Cain. But when Satan sowed his seed of discrepancy, it brought forth a Cain. Now, what was it I read you here in the very beginning of this message, starting with the portion of Scripture Brother Branham used in Matthew 13 relative to the wheat and the tares? We found Brother Branham stressing emphatically the unassailable truth that God has his children and Satan has his children, and those children of each person, God and the devil, manifest according to original seed, actually manifest God or the devil, being seed of one or the other. Well, hey, wasn't it? You got a dog that mates with another dog. One dog is black, the other is white. Don't you think the pups are going to be black and white? Certainly be black and white. Why? Because dogs, dogs. Everything's there. Manifest. Seed. So what about people? These are genuine, real people we're talking about. Children of God, children of Satan. Now God sowed his, Adam and Eve. They brought forth Abel. Serpent came along, he sowed with Eve, brought forth Cain. Now this is up for dispute, unless you believe a vindicated prophet. Now this is something the Jews believed according to John chapter 8. It brought forth a king. One brought forth a righteous one. One brought forth an unrighteous one. Because that Eve listened to the word of discrepancy. which means a word that was different from the original word. Now remember, Satan does not have his own word. He's got to fiddle and mess with what is already there. And he did it. He said, yea, hath God said. He didn't dispute that God said it. Not 1 minute did he dispute. He disputed with her that she did not understand what God meant. I'll tell you. Do you know that's the first step? That is spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, that leads to physical evidence and gets you messed up. That God really didn't mean it. You won't understand. I'm the one to show you. Now, how in the world could they listen to this highly elevated animal? How could she do it when she'd been walking and talking with God? Now, let me tell you something. This is where you get that keen, tiny edge of the blade, the razor blade. Huh? He didn't just say those few words and she fell for it. Don't worry. This was an ongoing thing of some description. It had to be. But this is the nutshell, the gist of the whole thing. And now we have a terrible condition on our hands. Because that Eve listened to one word, to the word of discrepancy, contrary to the word of God, and it started the ball of sin rolling right there, and has rolled ever since, and will never get it all out until the angels or the messenger comes and segregates the thing, and God takes his children to the kingdom, and the tares will be burned. Notice their seeds grew together just exactly like God said over there, here in the 13th chapter of our text tonight. Let them grow together. Now Cain went to the land of Nod, found himself a wife and married. And Abel was slain, and God raised up Seth to take his place. Well, certainly, somebody was raised up to take Adam's place. Seth was. Then somebody raised up to take his place, and somebody take up his place. And Cain, somebody took his place, and somebody took his place. And down, 6,000 years they've been here. And the generation started moving on between right and wrong, as Cain and Abel. Now, we notice that they were gathered, united, each one of them after a time. It got so wicked till God had to destroy it. That's a Noahic flood. But finally, that's an Omega situation, came forth both of those seeds, the seed of discrepancy and the seed of God, put forth their genuine heads, and wound up in Judas Iscariot and in Jesus Christ. Now there you are. There comes a time when headship is manifested. And you notice that Judas literally betrayed, pretending to be religious, thought he believed and he didn't, a genuine hypocrite. He stood right there as the headship of the seed of discrepancy, and Jesus stood there as the seed of originality, and one betrayed the other. And yet Judas saw every evidence in Jesus that this was that one. And you know, he even must have proclaimed it, because he was out there healing the sick and everything else at Jesus' command. And he must have said, this is the Messiah, this is the great one. Then he turned. How many in this message are doing the same thing? Finally, they both came forth of those seeds, Cain and Abel, or go back to Adam, and we find Jesus, and we find Judas. Now, he was the seed of God, he was the beginning of the creation of God. That's Jesus, the one that came, the final headship. He was nothing less than God. Now, Jesus was not God, but the prophet says he was nothing less than God on the grounds of the fact that God indwelt him and Satan indwelt Judas. The Bible distinctly says Satan entered into Judas. And Jesus himself had previously said, one of you is the devil, which is Diabolus, which absolutely means the devil or Satan. So therefore, he must have been Jehovah, which he was. And so those two bodies, and we're talking about seed now. We're talking about manifestation of a life or lives. And today you're going to look at the whole human race, and it's 99.9% Cain or serpent. Because that's where the Y chromosomes are, to bring on life. And the other little 0.1%, the 1/10 of the percent, is the other,
But you couldn't analyze your flesh and know which one you are. There's only one test, and science can't make it. Only the word of faith can make it. Do you believe in vindication? And if you don't believe it, you're going to lie all you want that you do and pretend all that you want that you do. It'll eventually come out. You're going to have to reject this word that the prophet said. The same pillar of fire that brought it is here revealing it. You will reject it. You can't help it. You can't help it. There's no way you can help it because you cannot help it. You know why? Because you're born to do it. That's a foolish virgin. She's in a state of flux like a comatose individual. She doesn't know left from right hand, but she knows something's going on. So she just plods down the road. Time comes, that serpent seed will kill her all off. They'll all die. You're in the great tribulation. Now, Judas Iscariot was born the son of perdition. Came from hell, returned to hell. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The Word of God made manifest. Judas Iscariot, in his discrepancy, was the seed of the devil and came to the world for deceiving them, for deceitful purposes. Just like he was at the beginning, Cain, his former father. I told you that you can't go back to the devil except through Cain, and neither can you go back to God except through Adam, because in him was the breath of life.
Well, I don't worry about Adam, bless God. You don't?
Well, my Bible says that in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive. And remember, the soul doesn't die unless God destroys it, annihilates it. Is that true? Why, certainly it's true. You know your Bibles. Soul's a part of God if you're a child of God. That's even the foolish virgin's going to come up at the end time, and they're going to be there all the time, for unto them is granted eternal life. Which simply means God, the Spirit of God, comes upon them, and that's it forever. What they missed here, they got over there. Because they weren't meant to get it here. There's your sovereignty of God again. All worked out beautifully. So, all right. One was born for deceit. Now, if this man was born for deceit, then there's got to be somebody out there that can get deceit. Otherwise, what's he born for deceit for? He couldn't be born for deceit if there's nothing out there to be deceived. In other words, there's no use for ice skates if there's no ice. What do you do? Try to work on water? I used to try that when I was a kid, and the ice began to melt. We'd still go out there. Didn't do a lot of good. Then finally we'd go through the ice. There's nobody to deceive. He couldn't be born for it. If he's born for deceit, they're going to be deceived. If Brother Branham said the woman's the most deceived and deceiving thing in the world, then there's got to be somebody for that category to get deceived and fooled. And that's what the serpent seed get fooled by the church, because the woman types the church. Woman doesn't just type a woman. Man doesn't just type a man. Say, well, I'm a male and she's a female. Oh, that's fine. Forget it. There's something way, way, way beyond that. This is just a little game down here to what the reality is. But out of this comes a reality. See, Cain was his father, like I said many times. The Bible said that the devil was a liar and a murderer. You show me where the devil ever killed anybody. Brother Branham categorically said, before spirit can do anything, it's got to find a temple to work through. How can the devil kill anybody unless he's got somebody to work through? Who do you work through? Cain. Murdered the whole human race. As in Adam, all died. Even so in Christ, all made alive. Why? Because we were in Christ. Because God placed in Jesus the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now bodily, what did bodily mean? Did it mean that God gave to Jesus by indwelling him and giving him omniscience and omnipotence? No way, shape, and form. Jesus was not omniscient. He was not omnipotent. No, sir. He had a will. I could presently call 12 legions of angels, but I won't call one of them because it's my purpose to do my Father's will, not his own will. Oh, our people messed up in their thinking. Oh, they sure think they're right. Oh, they're spiritual. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they'll pray and fast and everything else and jump up and down and scream and to prove they got it. I was in a house one day with a certain preacher. I won't mention anything about the details. It was in Dayton anyway. And I went to have a talk with him because I was still interested in the Pentecostal way of doing things rather than... That's the way this is many, many years ago now. Just shortly after I met Brother Branham. didn't have any of my bearings really, you know, lined up as I should have. And I was in his house, and he had some women there praying, and they're nice ladies. I have no problem with them or with him or anybody else. And so he was quoting over here, and let me tell you what he was doing. And so you'll get an idea how people can be carried away with their own understanding, their own verbosity, their own importance, and God knows what, and they can't read the Bible. They can't do it. Now it says, he says in here, for one is given this by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And you know how you read that? For by one is given the Spirit of wisdom. Another, the Spirit of knowledge. And I said, brother, you're not reading it right. The Bible doesn't say that. It says one is given by the Spirit a word. These are gifts, not spirits. And when the dear little ladies inside were there, very emotional, oh, how they raised their hands and began screaming to God because the devil had come in the house. They can't even read the Bible. I've been telling you they can't read it because God's Word said they can't. And if God said they can't, they can't. Well, but brother, I can prove it, I can read. Shut up and sit down. You're your father, the devil. Nothing of life abides in you. God said, hand the book. They say, I can't read. They can't read. Reveal it. I can't do it. But brother, they'll say they can read, and they'll tell you they can reveal it, and they always read the Scripture. There's one mediator between God and man, the God, Christ, Jesus. It doesn't say that. It says the man, Christ Jesus. So where's your Jesus-only bunch? Huh? Oh, they said if Brother Branham was that prophet, he'd have come to us. Well, he did. They booed him out. Sure. And Judas only played church. He wasn't really sincere. He didn't actually have faith. He'd have never betrayed Jesus. But you see, he sowed that seed of discrepancy. He thought that he could make friends with the world, mammon, and also have friends with Jesus, but it was too late for him to do anything about it. And I've told you all along that if you don't handle finances right, you will never get the Word of God. And it's telling me right here again the same thing William Branham is saying. I've warned churches. You want to hear, hey, we got at least two computers, all our bank notes, everything, every bit of money comes in here is all registered, it's all accounted for in the right accounts. Anybody can come anytime, and they will find that the money comes in is spent according to the Word of God and the law of the land. Anytime you want to open the books, I have no fear. But I know churches where you better not go. And it's a good thing they're holding their breath if the IRS ever came by. There's certain churches where the pastor and the board, and I ain't naming names, could go to prison. And that is the truth. Unless we were framed, there's no way this church, board, pastor, ministers, have any problems. Or they could say this little thing here, that little thing there. That's everywhere. Because we can't read the mind of the IRS and everybody else, but we're doing our best according to our accountants and our lawyers. Yeah, right tells you right here. Couldn't make friends with it. Sold out to one, wouldn't do it. In other words, too late to have friends with Jesus. Too late to do anything. When the dead hour came, when he did this evil thing, he crossed the separating line between going forward and turning back. He had to go on in the way that he went as the deceiver. He sowed the seed of discrepancy. He tried to find favor with those great organizations that day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and thought he'd make himself a piece of money and would be popular among the people. If that doesn't cause so many people to get in that discrepancy, trying to find favor with man, let's find favor with God, not with man. But that's what Judas did when his discrepancies headed up in him. In other words, the devil took complete charge. And that's what's happening in the church today in the money system. Preachers wouldn't let their pensions go. Unions are going to do the same thing. Everybody's going to flock to the Antichrist. There's no two ways about it. The squeeze is going to come down. I don't know if I'll be here. You'll be here. But evidently somebody's going to be here that believes this message because Brother Branham said they'll close the doors as far as they know. You won't be allowed to be part of them unless you're a Trinitarian. And only those that are not of the seed of discrepancy are those the ones that are going to behold. Now we know that Jesus was the Word, and so on and so forth. Now, all right. We find here Brother Branham categorically stating what I have been talking about, that the human race is made up of two kinds of seeds. One manifests the enemy and one manifests God, because the headship is of one or the other. It can't be two other ways. In other words, mankind of one lump bears within it children whose source is either of God or the devil. Both come through the processes required for natural birth. Yet one seed has its source as the life of God himself, wherein the other is an intrusion into the flesh of the seed, children of God, and its source is of the beast or serpent. Brother Branham categorically said we're all animals, we're mammals. And this beast, this serpent, was so close to a human being that it could actually intermix with a human being and bring forth children which had enough of a commonality whereby they could produce, whereas normally, and it's true, hybrids do not reproduce. They don't do it. Hybrid, grain, hybrid, anything. Now, it's not that science can't fool around and make it do it. By in vitro solution and everything else, they can do it. Changing genes. Science can do a lot of things. But science flubbed the dove when it didn't sit up and notice, say, just a minute, one mother, two fathers, what goes on here? Oh, no, they just thought they were smart to figure that little delicacy out. That's one of the best tidbits I've had in my 82 years of existence, honor. To be able to know the science has proved this message correct. And they still go around bleeping their ignorance. Always told you science was pseudo. Okay. Through the natural processes of birth and natural birth. Yet one seed has its source as the life of God himself, wherein the other is an intrusion into that flesh of the seed, children of God, and its source is of the beast or serpent seed. Now remember, the serpent cannot create. God, the devil cannot create. Beg your pardon. The devil, not the serpent. The devil cannot create. He has to use what is there. He doesn't have a word of his own. He doesn't have a thought of his own. He doesn't have power of his own. He has nothing of his own. He only has a diabolical will that says, I'll exalt myself against God. I'll take over worship. I'm going to be the head. That's all he knows. That's all he wants. And he'll do it any way he can possibly get it, as we well know by Scripture. So what does he do? He has to induct himself into the human race. Now, how does he do it? He does it by an animal. With that animal, impregnates Eve, and she brings forth Cain. Now, this intrusion came through Eve, who left the Word, and being totally, morally, and physically seduced, bore a child for the serpent, and thereby introduced the seed of discrepancy into what we call the human race. Now, right in the Bible, she absolutely says, I was morally and physically, spiritually seduced. It meant she got taken all the way. And she did, because she was the one who, by the enemy, introduced the seed of the enemy into the human race and caused every single thing that's perpetrated upon us for evil, not good, but evil continuously until we're taken out of here. She did it. That's why you'll find that Brother Branham used such strong language. I used to disagree with his strong language. I've come to the place after 30 years, my language is just as strong or stronger. It isn't stronger, it's just as strong. Because you can't go beyond a prophet. That's when you tried out God, God out Jesus, Jesus out Spirit, the Spirit out Word, the Word out Prophet, the Prophet. Forget it. Just tag along. Be part of the game. And remember, the man that leads the crowd is usually the first one they shoot, as well as the first one they praise. I think I'd sooner sit behind him. You know what I mean? Discrepancy means to be different. Cain was different from Abel as to his origin, his nature, his body, and his urge to worship, and especially his aggressive, intolerant attitude toward God's seed Abel, a true human being. He even defied God. Abel, who was genetically perfect. And just think about this attitude that Cain had, as we read the Omega of Cain and his seed, Revelation chapter 20, 7 to 10, based upon Genesis 4 and 8. So, 20, 7 to 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go up to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. They haven't changed one bit. They've only gotten worse. Now, you go back and check that out in Genesis, the 4th chapter, and in 8, and Cain talked with Abel, and with Abel his brother, and it came to pass there in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So, at the end time, they're going to try to kill even those in the holy encampment. Now, let me tell you something. This is the spirit you're dealing with. The spirit of the kind old priest. The Pentecostals. That are chaff for the burning. And they're great stories. I just read about this woman pastor. She pulls the same old trick all the Pentecostals and whodunits do. She said at her meeting, she expects they're invited. And all these names are there, and I knew some of them. And she thinks she's going to trap me going there. She's nuts, because they advertised even Brother Branham, and Brother Branham never came. And they understand, they advertised Roberts, and Roberts never came. But there's a lot of goonies out there thinking that Brother Branham or Brother Roberts might come. And so they came, and then, of course, they passed the collection plate. They advertised signs and wonders, and the only signs you saw were dollar signs. You wondered if anything was going on. It was halfway decent. Because there weren't any miracles. They advertised those too. See? All right, now watch closely. How did Cain get here? By discrepancy. How did Eve get involved? Discrepancy. In other words, a different approach brought it. A different word brought it. And it wasn't a different word as to the actual foundational word. It was a perverted word. And how do you get a building with the foundation perverted? Now, Paul said he laid the foundation. Therefore, this word is unperverted that Paul wrote. And if we ever get back to it, we've got an unperverted foundation. And Paul had to lay an unperverted foundation in a foundation that couldn't hold back there in the first church age. And William Branham had to come on the scene and lay another foundation for a new virgin church bride. Either 1955 or 6, I think it was 55. Now, discrepancy, I'll keep watching. Discrepancy can also mean to sound differently. This time, it's an adverb. It's not different, it's differently. So that means, to sound differently means they're doing something in the manner of which the sound is produced. They might have switched from a flute to a cornet. Then from a cornet, they might have gone to a guitar. A steel guitar. Spanish. Who knows? Who cares? They could have done everything. See, what you're looking at then is not only is the product different, but the way it was done was different. See, the serpent introduced sex which worked. But wasn't to work at that time. Eve should have borne Christ. I proved that by Scripture because he's the only one that ever fulfilled the book of Genesis. So if that's a seed back there to the human being, then Jesus Christ had to be that human being because nobody else ever had it. Adam never got off the ground concerning the Word of God. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything else. Be my grand potentate ruler under me. Be my representative. Jesus was that one. Adam never got there. No human being got there. You understand? It's the Lamb on the throne. A lot of people want to put us with the Lamb on the throne. Better be careful. getting too big for your britches. Going back to Pentecost, grandiose idea is what you are, because God will look after you, who you are. I'll tell you something, if I escape hell and I'm simply annihilated, I will praise God for his mercy. I'm hard to understand my statements when I make statements like this, but you get in my boots, you'll understand. You bet. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. May I not get in her way. In other words, do anything hindering. Because maybe he that hinders a little child, better a millstone cast about his neck and cast the sea and face God what he done. Fear whom? Him that destroyed body and soul in hell. People just don't understand this word. Or this something up for grabs, some little nice thing God said. Oh, you know, we'll play with it, we'll tinker, we'll toy with it. It's not that easy. See, all right. Now, it comes differently. Put it together. You've got a different product, and it has to be because it came in a different way. Now, William Brand is a vindicated prophet of God, and he's bringing his message of the presence of God. And he's Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Elijah, which was for to come, the restorer of God's word. Here's that one you're looking to. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So therefore, this word today cannot be the word that our brother Paul brought in the beginning, unless the same God is here confirming every word of Paul and telling us what the doctrine is for our hour. You don't need to worry about justification. You don't need to worry about it. Brother Branham just simply corrects it. You worry about sanctification, simply correct it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is one and the same as the rebirth. Simply correct it. And then he brings us the revelation the bride was waiting for, which is the rapture. Descend with a shout, the voice of the trump. Jesus does all three in descending. Who is that? Jehovah Elohim. Come on right down here with the word of Almighty God to show. Bringing the church in divine order. Putting headship under the feet of Jesus Christ. Getting us ready, prepared to come into the millennium. See? It comes what? How? By vindication. It came by vindication. What are your Pentecostals and your Baptists and all those guys out there doing? They're getting together and they say, oh, the Greek says this. Oh, I think that is true. Oh, it says this. I think that is true. Yes. It is fine. But I can't see that now, but it's okay. Everything's okay because, you see, we're brothers. They sure are, but they're not mine. I don't go for it. I go for that. You say, Brother Dave, what if you go to hell? Then I'll meet Brother Branham. I like him. We'll go to hell together. And whatever that is in that pillar of fire, which has got to be Jehovah, never made a mistake. Devil makes mistakes. He lies. Right. Never told a lie. He'll be there too. You got all mixed up. We're going to heaven. Yeah. Go where you want to go. Say what you want to say. Just don't include me. I'm tough. You got to hang tough. Some of you folk are worried about everybody but yourselves. You better get your souls lined up. Can a husband plead for a wife? No. Wife for a husband? Who are you, a man, know your wife's going to come in? Who are you, a woman, know your husband's going to come in? Who are you, know your children going to come in? Well, I'm a Philippian jailer. They're going to come in. Brother Dan said, yes, but they had to come the way of faith. And Paul knew they'd come in. No. Don't get all mixed up. A different product from a different way. We have the product from vindication. No ptomaine poison. No error. No pedophile gras. Old goose livers here. No. This is the body. Word reading on today. Full of the life of God. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know what goose liver is, you know? They take the goose and they take a funnel and they push the food down. And the goose gets so fat, his liver gets overworked, they get great big livers. That's a disease liver in my book. And then the French take it and they make pate foie gras. And they put four theologians get together and they take a funnel to the church and shove the word in. Oh, you got a bunch of goose liver. Try to do that with the dove. He hasn't got much of a liver because he got no gall.
No, you can't do it to the dumb. So discrepancy is something different coming in a different manner. See? And the word came to Paul by vindication according to God, not by man or men, as Paul says over here in Galatians, which you read many, many times, the first chapter, and 11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren. Now, that's like I swear to you, brethren, but he's not swearing. He says, I'm telling you the truth. I'm certifying this, the truth, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither I received of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I got this from nobody except God himself. So that's what you're looking at here. It is again 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5, Paul vindicating himself. And again, 1 Corinthians 14, 36, 37, where Paul challenged them, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, spirit-filled, or you are part of the fivefold ministry, he took the prophet because that can mean preacher, he said, you will acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God, and he looks right down at Peter, he's talking about him, and he's talking about Apollos, and he's talking about everybody else except himself, and he's saying, I and I alone have it, and since I've got it, they'll corroborate, if they're of God, what I have is right. And he rubbed their noses in. Oh, Paul, you dirty rascal. Peter was with Jesus. Oh, such a lovely brother. You had no... Oh, what a nerve you had to call him a hypocrite. Paul, you go to hell because you got a horrible spirit. Hey, I can pat a skunk and say, pussy, pussy, pussy. You're still a skunk. What do you expect Paul to do? Let me tell you something. You visit the pillar of fire. You'll know better. You'll know better. You're like a hunted animal. But that's all we are, just animals. To the shell. Yeah. Peter should have known better. And when Brother Branham says getting back to Pentecost, what's he talking about? Not Pentecostalism, Pentecost teaching, everybody talking in tongues and even prophesying. He's talking about the time when God himself came down as headship over the original church and divided himself. And after he did that, then what came in? Paul came in with the strictest of revelations to set the church in order. And that's what Brother Branham wanted. God in headship with a baptized group where the prophet comes in, sets them all in order, gets them all ready to get out of here. And we're going. Somebody's going. You better believe it. So, all right. Now, notice, Paul vindicated in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5, challenging them in 1 Corinthians 14, 36. Now, the discrepancy had already come in according to his prophecy in Acts 20th chapter, and according to 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4, they had already gone astray on the true word of God. They didn't know who Jesus was, and they couldn't place the Holy Ghost. They were already in a mumbo-jumbo concerning Godhead and His Word. What's it like after 2,000 years by the law of the compounding of error in the exponential curve? One more word out, it's over. All they're going to take, one more word. And complete evil has conquered. One more word of grace, all speaking the same thing. The bride's gone. Because Paul said, you all speak the same thing. It's paid what I say. Brother Branham said the same thing. See, people don't believe that except little people like us. Well, you see, this is too simple. I can't stand up and give you great promises. Listen to the veil and come back next Sunday and the great thing could happen. The great thing has happened. And I'm still a dud and a dunce and an imbecile alongside of what happened. So if you expect me to bring you some great wonderful revelation, you are sitting here fooling yourself. And Lee Vail is not telling you he's going to give you some great revelation because it's impossible. I don't have anything to give you. If I can even preach this halfway from understanding, I'm going somewhere. Now listen, who was it that did all this? Who was it in Acts 20 where he said, call the church together and said, they're going to, even those amongst you will rise up to lead people astray. And then he said, you've already slipped from being a virgin. You're a non-virgin. You're an absolute mess. I espoused you to Christ with a true foundation. You left it. See, just like Eve, one word,
started to go off. See? Now, let's face it. Eve was a virgin before the serpent got to her, proving she was a very foolish virgin. Huh? That's just a little thought. Don't carry it too far. Because I sure wouldn't either. Now, here's what Paul said these people are. They are false apostles who gave you a wrong Jesus, a wrong spirit, a wrong word. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into messenger light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What was their works? To deceive. How do you deceive? Giving a false word. You know, you can't deceive anybody if there's nothing there to deceive in the sense of a truth being there. Say, hey, listen, you don't need to make your income tax out this way. No, you can do it this way. And the guy wants to see you in prison. So he fools you. But always the truth was there how to make your income tax out. You can't put in for expenses you didn't that aren't legal. But you can put in for every expense that is legal. They don't. People won't apply that to the word. These are false people. Now, the ones that brought them, and we read about them in 2 Corinthians 11:13, which will not tolerate God himself by prophets. These people will not tolerate God by prophets. Let me repeat. These people will not tolerate. On the warpath right now. All the time defending God in his holy word and honor. Hallelujah. And talk in tongues to prove it. Or prophesy. Ha! Prophecy, my foot. See? Brother Branham said you can't worship and serve God outside of a prophet. Now, I made a statement. These guys will not tolerate God. Because God works by a prophet. Paul said that. Now listen to Peter. Second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you privately shall bring in damning heresies, even saying no, denying God, the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways. A galloping disease that leaves you without blood, no red corpuscles. Pernicious anemia. Drains you right down of life. No life in the word at all that you're taking. Nothing there, no red blood corpuscles. All white corpuscles. That turn on your body and destroy it. They call it lupus. AIDS is the same thing. There's many diseases now totally related. Where the body turns on itself. So what you've got today is the church turning on itself. It does it by teachers. Because you see, the teachers do not recognize the prophet. They recognize the false prophets. And they teach the mumbo jumbo that they teach. And many follow. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. Now just a minute. You can't have a false prophet without having a way of truth. It says right here. So there are no false prophets unless there's a true prophet. And there's no false interpretation unless there's a true interpretation. There's nothing the devil can do unless God has already done it. There's nothing the devil can say unless God has already said it. And if you don't believe that's true, go back to Genesis. Yea, hath God said? Didn't God say this? Why, sure, God said it. Oh, yes, God said it. I'll admit God said it. There is a God. He said it. Oh, yes, yes. But let me tell you something. I got news for you. Yeah. Now it says here the way of truth. So they must have had the way of truth. there was a true prophet there. Through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Words that they pretend are authentic. Words that they pretend have weight, whose judgment of a long time lingers not, and damnation slumbers not. they deny the Lord, they say no. Why? They turned down the prophet. You say, just a minute. All right, I'm glad you said just a minute. I'll take you to some more just a minutes. I have no problem with that. Let's go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Verse 34, wherefore I send you prophets. I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you'll kill and crucify, and some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute in city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say, all these things shall come upon this generation. Did it come? It certainly did in 70 A.D. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which ascended thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Who's he talking about? Prophets, vindicated. Wise men, fivefold ministry. Scribes, everybody that just simply reads the word and says it. Not teach it, but just part of the great throng. That's what he says right here. I would have gathered you. Okay, let's go to way back here in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. How does he do it? By the prophets. By the fivefold ministry. Oh, people don't like a fivefold ministry. Yet I read to you the other day where Brother Branham said a fivefold ministry is required to bring the bride to perfection. The same people that don't want me as a teacher and run me down all the time. Oh, yes, I just got a good brain. That's all Evail goes by, just a good brain. Well, where's their brains if they got to follow me to find the truth? I want to know some answers to some of these things. Who was it that preached the presence? Who brought it forth to light? Kept it burning. It's still burning right today. Who showed them these words and where they come from? Oh, that's just mental? Well, fine. I'll be spiritual tomorrow. I'll just join them. See what I'm talking about? How stupid can you get? Don't answer the question. Because the same says, how stupid can you get is how wise can you get. How wise can you get? With the wisdom of God. And how stupid can you get? And they are both exponential in their curve. Because today perfection has come, full revelation. And face to face, huh? Come on, let's smarten up. Let's understand something. I don't glory in this thing, but I'm sure glad that Jesus shows me something by the Holy Spirit. See? So there you see it. And where did this all start? This started all back in Genesis chapter 4, where Cain turned down the revelation to God. And he got mad at God and God's revelation. He rejected the revelation, therefore rejected God. When he rejected God, God rejected him and put him under the curse. Which, what does curse mean? Everything negative from the positive blessing. There'll be food in your larder, no food in your larder. There'll be glory in heaven, there'll be no glory in hell. There'll be recognition and honor, there'll be none down below. Always one balance the other. Negative, positive. Twins all the time. Left hand, right hand. And remember, judgment, my brother, sister, is a very complex word and yet very, very simple. Because the human mind says, oh, judgment, that's something against me. No, it also means something for you. The little girlie takes her prize, takes her cake to the fair. And the judge judges it. And he said, yummy. This is the most delicious pie and the most beautiful I have seen in years. My little dear, here is first prize. That's a judgment. Yeah, that's a judgment. Now I could start screaming now, and if Ralph would follow me, I'll hit the chandeliers in 2 seconds. See, people don't believe we can get emotional, that we can cry, that something inside screams. Well, we got to shout and dance to show it. Hey, I can lead a marimba band here and get you shouting and screaming, and you might not understand one single word. Why am I shouting and screaming? I just told you why. You have been judged unto approbation of God, the perfect, righteous, blessed virgin bride of Christ who never did it. That's judgment. It's your long, long last, the judgment is bad. How did you come out? Oh, I really don't know. And what good does the judgment do you? If the judge is here, what good does it do if he's here? Huh? Well, come on, let's read the Bible. I like reading the Bible. That's where I get my thoughts from, by the grace of God. It's over here in
Second Thessalonians, again. And he said, now, you the troubled rest, which of the Lord shall be revealed in heaven with the mighty angels, the Lord Jesus, in flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should punish the everlasting destruction, and so on. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. And he's here starting the process now, under the seventh seal. Time and eternity blending. The resurrection coming out. Already the resurrection is forming, as we're forming for immortality. It's all going on. Hey, the judgment is that. What was the judgment? Hey, glorification. Now why aren't you screaming and running? I'm not promising you something down the road. Oh, hallelujah, something is going to come. I'm telling you now. Now. Something better in glorification? Is there? Come on, before God, is there? Or no? It's going on now. What in the world do people want? The judgment's over. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. Going to give you rest and peace. You can breathe easier. You don't have to wonder and worry. It's vindicated. See why I preach vindication? It's vindicated. It's vindicated. It's vindicated. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. There's bread and fish upon the fire. He didn't say, come bring your fish in, we'll roast it together. He said, come on. You can bring your fish in, it's okay. That's good for another day. Take it to your family, come on. I've got it ready for you. Well, let me see now. I should maybe go and gather some blueberries. Run to the corner store and get some nice napkins because it must look pretty. And my mother has the loveliest china, I'll borrow hers. Ah, shut up. Merciful God, can't you rough it to come just to the table and dine? Bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. And Brother Branham said this resurrected Jesus ate a fish sandwich. Oh, that could change my thoughts of the millennium. Maybe my appetite won't change so much. Maybe the Lord will give me my fish and my venison and those things that I might truly love in a way different from slaughtering the fish and the venison. I don't know. But if he ate a fish sandwich, I'm certainly not against it. I like the idea, in fact. Why shouldn't I? I was born to it. That was the nature of Abel. The nature of this other fellow was a beast. Let's forget the beast part. So, all right, where are we now? Oh, yeah. So there you see it. Cain was brought forth by a wrong seed carrier. Eve was a carrier of a wrong seed, though she herself was a seed. Did Paul have this with the Corinthian church? He sure did. There could have well been foolish virgin there, no doubt. And there could have been little babes, and they were beginning to suck at this wrong little tidbit. Now, I'll tell you about Jesus, the real Jesus. I'll give you the real dope on the real Holy Spirit. And as for the word of Paul, Paul's right, I agree. But you see, you're just getting it wrong. Sure. The true seed, and he was part of Adam, part of God, right there. She let a wrong seed get there. Now, she wasn't destroyed any more than David. See? She was a carrier of the wrong seed, an animal. That was animal seed. And that wrong seed carrier. Now, we got the beast here now involved too. That's not the seed of that God. That's not the seed of humanity. You're getting the mixture right in here where it all came from and why we got the mess today of one lump of flesh. So, all right, Cain brought forth by a wrong seed carrier. Eve was a right seed, but she became a carrier to the wrong seed carrier, which was the beast or the serpent, an animal. And that wrong seed carrier told the lie in Genesis 3. Now that lines up with the false prophets, the false teachers. They're liars, wrong seed. That's your test of the baptism. That's the test of child of God. No, no, we talk in tongues. We've got gifts. We're this, we're that. And you guys are sitting on your duffs here in that church not doing anything. And I say, it's just a minute that sick amongst them get healed. We just don't major and a minor. You get healed sitting in their seats. I've seen it. If you don't believe it, you just ask Aaron Ratzke how he got healed. You talk to Pete Clausen how he prayed for that night after terrible, terrible stomach pains. And he went home and thought, well, I'll see if this is real. He just deluged it with about 14 cups of coffee, which would kill a horse. Didn't have a pain. Perfectly whole. We got people here talking about their eyes, prostate trouble, the heart, everything else. That we're criticized. Why? Because we're not screaming and jumping and doing what they want us to do. Brother Branham said, take this message for your healing. I've been doing it by the grace of God. And doctors are of God. We do what we can. But we're not going to major in a minor. We're going to major in the major. And what is the major? He's here revealing himself, his word, and revealing us to ourselves, and revealing them to us, so that we now can thoroughly discern and know who serves God and who doesn't, who's righteous and who is and who isn't. Brother, sister, listen, we're past the days of guessing. There's no more guess, there's no more parables, there's no more nothing hidden. It's been revealed, the seven seals are off, it's face to face. So, all right. So there you see it. Cain was brought forth by the wrong seed carrier, an animal. And that wrong seed carrier told the lie in Genesis 3, thou shalt not die, but live. And also in 2 Corinthians, we see who they were, ministers of Satan, wrong seed. And so it says, and said, Brother Branham says, and so it is in every single age. Remember, twins, 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 and never. You cannot talk of truth without a lie. You cannot talk about good without evil. You cannot talk about righteous without unrighteousness. You cannot do it. You cannot talk about grace without disgrace. You cannot talk about harmony without disharmony. You simply cannot do it. It's negative and positive all through every bit of God's creation, and it's right in the church. And it's right in human beings. It's right in the Word of God. Never forget twins. Never, never, never. If it mentions son of perdition, then it's got to be son of man. If it says son of man, then it's got to be son of perdition. You say, why? Because it's twins. God's got a left hand and a right hand. When he comes, let us see if he leaves a blessing or a curse. Blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. Abel, Gerizim, Gerizim, Abel. Come on. Can't you see? Some of you are still twiddly-winking a little bit about morals and everything else. I'm for the proper morals, but don't you see your morals and your talk and all your crud isn't worth a plug nickel unless you're right with this word? Here's just another Seventh-day Adventist, or God knows what. I think, maybe this is the reason Brother Branham never gave us anything too definitive on marriage and divorce and some of the things he said. So people could run around and conjecture this and conjecture that and fuss about this and fuss. Why don't you fuss about your own life and wonder if you're getting the word? If you're telling the truth when you mention Brother Branham's name with the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty servant of God. A man mentioned with, he himself vindicated, Moses, Paul, William Branham. Get away from your tiddlywinks. And watch your money and the way you live. I'm giving you simple things. You want some big thing, call in the guy from New York. He'll put a big screen up here and sit at home and you watch his picture and kowtow and bow. Go ahead. I'll be out in Texas, or Arizona, rather. Forget Texas. I don't like the climate. Twins. And the vindicated prophet said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. And remember, the sheep hear his voice, not another's. The sheep hear his voice. That's the difference in the sounding. That's sounding differently. These guys come together and they love to talk about the things that, like they said, there was a meeting out in Western Canada. And they say that there were 37 preachers there, so they had 15-minute breaks. And the guy said the funniest thing was the person that heard it, everybody was contradicting each other. So let's have a session. Yeah, let's have a session. Well, how did you really come to truth? Well, I'll tell you. Then you tell us all about how to get out of the truth, too. See? Yeah. The sheep hear his voice. There's his voice through a prophet. Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. How I would have gathered you together, but you wouldn't listen the way I gather them. So the bride is gathered by the prophet and the fivefold ministry and the people testifying and talking the word.
Well, they don't like that, do they? They want a preacher tell you everything, pray for you, and then bring in the money, honey, money, 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 money. And the guy lied, he said, you know, my house burned down, that's all they had. Then Sawyer and the rest of the gang up, and they find out the bird has another beautiful, great big house worth $1 million or two someplace else. And he's telling the people, I don't have a home now. They wonder if he can burn the place down to get the insurance. Mr. Baker threw him in jail for a whole lot less than some people do. Went to a little, she was actually a prostitute, if anybody knows it. Swaggered the same way. Oh, they're great servants of God. This woman out in Arizona, she wrote to a friend of mine in Europe, and she don't listen to Lee Dale. She said, why, Brother Branham called a doctor because he Brother Branham actually despised him, so he put that on him. But she said, you get all you can of Brother Swagger's taste because he's the closest to Brother Branham I know. Brother Branham was involved himself in devious sex practices? You want to know the truth? A certain woman made herself 100% available that he knew. And she was a married woman. And she did it because her light bill was overdue. And Brother Branham would have to come and turn the lights off. She fully exposed herself naked. And she said, Billy, you wouldn't turn the lights off. He said, I put my hands over my eyes and I staggered down the steps weeping. Yeah. Swaggered is next to Brother Branham. And Brother Branham's in hell. You want to know the truth? Ask me some questions. I don't tell you everything I know. Once in a while, I unburden a bit. Because this world is so rotten from the church members on down, they should know something. I've become like Mark Twain, who said, a woman protests her virtue and a man, he's a merchant, his honesty. I shun the merchant and I patronize the woman. And that's the way I am today, but people call themselves Christians out here in the world. And I wonder how close we are together here. When they mention one word of Christianity, and on their tongues the same time they mention business, want to sell me a car, a washing machine, or even a toothbrush, I want to run right now and say, hold it, kiss me, a good old sinner. Just a good old sinner that knows he's a sinner, but has a couple of morals. But don't try to bring in Jesus as a vendor of merchandise when he cleaned the temple 2,000 years ago. Now, you want to know the truth, you're getting it. I won't be with you very long. My eyesight's failing. My wife can even hear the phone ring when I can't anymore. And I don't have much peace and rest when I sleep, and I don't have much strength. I won't be here too often. Maybe never again, I don't know. But don't forget the history of the last days Pentecostal church and the history, as Charles Parham said, I want you young men in Bible school to find out what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. And they studied the historical account of Acts. They left entirely the complete Word of God. And they took Acts and a couple of chapters out of the book of Corinthians. And they said, that's it. And Parham said, that's it. And it wasn't. Because Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. And he didn't say there's two kinds of tongues either, which you receive as evidence of Pentecost and now as a gift. He didn't say that. That's what Pentecostals say. They're dead because the chaff is burned. They made tongues in evidence instead of 1 Corinthians 14:36 and 37. If any man has got the Holy Ghost, or he's in the fivefold ministry where he really is taught of God to teach the people, you will know this one thing for sure. They'll admit that every word that I say is from God. And the same people say, oh yes, Paul gave us the vindicated word of God. And when William Branham comes on the scene, identified even more than the Apostle Paul. Right, because there's billions of more people on earth now. Vindicated, just like Paul and like Moses. And they say, well, forget it. We can get this on our own. And so the church is full of discrepancy, off the Word of God. They got the different thing from the original, and they got it by a different manner, right? That's exactly what you're looking at. We are back to the original. If we're not back to the original, brother, sister, then there isn't any. Yep, there isn't any. See, that's all there is to it. When I find a Lincoln head coin,
It's a Lincoln head coin. I've got one of the originals. I don't have to worry, see? Now, so we look at history and we find they were wrong. So do men today. They rely on all else but vindication until even the great Malachi Martin, the Roman Catholic historian, tells us that he knows that Pope John is the world leader, the great prince amongst us, because he's got the fisherman's ring. Who in the name of common sense made the stupid thing in the first place? I would sooner believe in the mythology of where some god was going to make Thor this great hammer. And so he gets this guy in the forge making it and making and making the forge and making it do until Thor gets his hammer, but he gets it a little bit short. And now when he throws his hammer, that's the thunder. I think Thor's got more thunder than the Pope has. And more credibility. Because at least he gave everybody a good time. Now, we are not to see the discrepancy in our gospel is one of vindication, according to Deuteronomy 18. And not only Deuteronomy 18, we go beyond the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, right to Numbers 12, where God said, if I, the Lord, speak to a prophet, I'll do it in dreams and vision, but my servant Moses is not so. I'll speak to him even apparently. In other words, I'll appear in a form that he can see, and I'll talk face to face. He did it to Paul, he did it to William Branham, and there his picture right there. How come they can't find that quote anywhere that I've used? Here, reading right out of Brother Branham's own literature, when he tells that God did not send Moses down to go with Moses to Egypt and appear only in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today we got his picture. How come they can't find that? Then what's on your little disc and everything else? Who's muddling with what? Huh? I begin to wonder. Oh, I feel good right now. You ready there, Brother Mills? Do you think we could take off now? Good. I mean it. I'm not kidding. See, it's at the end of the service when the preaching's over. You could be on your feet shouting and laughing and praising God. That wouldn't disturb me one bit. I'd like to be dipping my toes in the rug out there with you. I've done it. No problem. Just good. Feel good. Feel great. Why not? There's healing in the Word. There's healing in His wing. Okay, I do it. I always do. I never get past here, but believe me, if I get back another time, I will take you right from where we start. Stop. Maybe just read these little things quickly, and we get right back into the swim, and we go through where Brother Branham brings out some startling things in the prayer line. But everything is startling if we are the people who got a good starter. Now, if you don't have a starter, there's nothing startling. But if you've got that blessed Holy Spirit in there, believe me, as soon as that Spirit hears that word, something begins to take off, and it ain't you essentially human. It is you essentially seed of God, right? All right, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for grace and mercy in this our hour, the time of fellowship we have together, Lord, not condemning anybody we don't want to, Lord, because the judgment is already here and gone through. As Brother Branham said, when you sing that song, I'll go with him through the judgment. You're doing it right now with the judging word. And Lord, we judge you and your word one, and we judge it correct. And we ourselves incorrect, we ourselves presumptuous, everything else, Lord, but thou art God. And in thee, Lord, is all perfection and godliness, whatever we're, it's all there. And revealed in your word what is for this hour and day, preparing us and getting us out of here, a bride ready unto your glory, Lord. There is a bride going to get out of here. And if we, Lord, are not that bride, then surely we would qualify somewhere as friends of the bride and the bridegroom especially, even down to foolish virgin, whatever. But we know we have a part somehow, somewhere in this, because it rings within our heart. What is here manifested as vindicated in this hour, we know a reality. We know it is scientific. We know it is just great. This is the ultimate. This, Lord, is the epiphany, the apex. This is the top of the pyramid, Lord, getting ready for the rest to come out of the ground and a bride taking off and that Spirit become incarnate to us, crowning Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We believe that, Lord. We know it is true. As much as we know truth and as much as we can express, as much as we can feel, as much, Lord, as we can appropriate, as much as we can endure, whatever, Lord, this is it. And we know it's barely a little tip of it.
as to what is coming more and more out of it down that road, for time and eternity is mingled, and everything is moving on in a marvelous sweep up of God. Lord, we know that, and we're waiting now for more of this ultimate, which we have in this hour, whereby we mean, Lord, we are part of the manifestation of it. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Now, who's in tune? I'll go with him through.